L-E-T-E-N-P-C.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's Varell Coast to Coast.
And we're back. Hour number three, Pharrell Coast to Coast on a pain-free Friday right here on Sports Grid and Sports Grid Radio. Good to have you with us here today. Of course, final hour on a Friday. We bring in our man Brian Ciano Mafia, as we'll have him for a little bit longer than just this segment today, but we always get ready for a big fight. Now, Mafia, I obviously can't ask you, can I watch it? I do know that when I have numbers after these events, so we have UFC, of course, 277 tomorrow night, I do understand that is a pay-per-view you must pony up if you want to watch Amanda Nunes try to get some revenge against Juliana Pena tomorrow night.
You do, Mike, but you can watch the prelims. Prelims will be on ESPN and ABC for free, so you do get a little taste of it.
Wow.
And then, you know, of course, first hit's free, then they try to drag you in and make you pay for it after that. We'll see if you can get that going. But, I mean, this is a big one. You know, the first time that we saw Nunez look human in her last fight when she fought Juliana Pena. You have the Lioness versus the Venezuelan Vixen. Lioness looking for revenge here. She looks to get her belt back now. She already has one. Still has that 145-pound title, looking to get that 135 bantamweight title back. You know, not to take anything away from Pena. It was a great performance by her, incredible. You know, the people thought that she was basically just, you know, fodder, cannon fodder for the Lioness in her quest to just stay the baddest woman there is. But she came in there, and it looked different. You know, Linus looked off. You know, so now you look at this situation, Mike, where she's coming back in here. And, you know, excuse the pun, but it just fits so well. I know it goes exactly with her nickname. But, you know, to me, this is like when you have the lions at the zoo. And, you know, out in the Serengeti, they're the, you know, the most dangerous predator. They're the king of the jungle. And, you know, you see how bad they are. And then you see them in the cages at the zoo, and you're just like, look at you. You're just kind of like laying around. You're pathetic because they're just thrown to them. You don't got to hunt. They just look like they're not the same. Then some idiot throws something in the cage, and then they leap over and kill him. Like, that's what this is to me, that she got complacent. She had won 12 fights in a row, 7 title defenses at 2 different weight classes. Now Pena came in there and annoyed her and took her belt. And if you just see her before this fight, you see at the weigh-ins or, you know, in the promos that she was cutting for this, she looks a lot leaner and a lot better shape. She's a lot more focused, I think. I think she kind of just lost focus. She had the family. She had the, you know, easy fights. Now she knows, hey, there's someone in there that is challenging me. There's someone in there that is making sure that I really have to fight for this. And I think we're going to see the best Nunez that we've seen in a long time. I'm taking her to win this. Minus 295. Obviously, the book is heavy on her. You know, and every method of victory, double chance bet on Nunez is much worse odds than Pena. So even though Pena's got the belt, every bet on Nunez comes before Pena. That's how much FanDuel thinks she's getting this title back. You want to get some value play here? You can go maybe how it will end. I think submission by 260 is a decent bet, a decent chance. But the one that I think is the best bet for the value is total rounds over 2.5 at minus 108. Because I think you got to give some respect to Pena and what she's done. I think it's going to take, you know, 4 or 5 rounds for Nunez to get this, maybe all the way even, if she has to go get that title back, you know, take it to the depths all the way to the end.
Wasn't she like minus 1,600 or minus 2,000 favorite or something completely ridiculous against this girl the last time she fought her? I mean, it was everybody who she's fought in this whole run before losing to her I mean, those were about the prices for Pena on the money for Nunez. I mean, on the money line in all of her fights, right, Moff? That was nothing strange for against this girl.
No, it was nothing strange. I don't think it ever got that high. It might have been somewhere around 800-900 for her. But you know, when you have Shevchenko usually in there, it's 1,200-1,600. It might have gotten to 12, but usually, you know, 1,600-2,000. That's usually when the bullish Shevchenko is fighting at 125. The only woman, you know, that has beaten her is Nunez. So, you know, when she fights against the 125 pounders, that's when the odds are just ridiculous.
We welcome in all of our radio affiliates for El Coast to Coast on a Friday. Sirius XM, channel 159, Sports Map, Sports Byline. Good to have everybody in the mix. Scotty out on vacation. Carver High Mafia here. Scotty back on Monday here on C2C. All right, what about the rest of the main card, Mafia? I do see a name that I recognize. The big guy, Derek Lewis, back in the mix tomorrow night.
Yeah, the Black Beast is in there once again. We'll talk about him in a second. You also have the interim flyweight title in the men's because the assassin baby, Brandon Moreno, number one in that division versus number two, Kai, don't blink, Carl France. Of course, Moreno was the former title holder coming off that trilogy he just had with Davison Figueiredo. Figueiredo right now out on injury. He's even talked about maybe moving up in weight because he's had issues with this weight class for a while. So in that time, they said, all right, well, we're not going to sit and wait. You know, we want Moreno to fight him again for a fourth time because the three fights were so good, but we're not going to wait. So you know what? Let's put this interim belt together, and that's what we got here with the number one, number two in this division. Kai Kara France, 7-2 in the UFC. He's a tough dude. He was, you know, only 2-1 in 1920. Now he's 3-0 since then. So he's on a great streak. A lot of power. The Australian likes to knock people out. On the other side, Moreno's got some power. We've seen that from him, but he's also great on the ground. That's his bread and butter, taking guys down, submitting him. We saw it do it in the second fight against Figueiredo. And I'm going to take him because of that. Minus 220 on the money line is how I'm taking Moreno on this. If you want to find the value play, of course, I'm going to go Moreno by submission. Now, if you look at the books, they're shading it to go the distance. This is going to be a five-round fight because it's an interim belt. So I don't know why they're obviously assuming it's going to go with a knockout artist and a guy like Moreno that this is going all the way, but that's what they're doing with both fighters by points and finishing by points being the main bets. I'm going to say by submission, Moreno plus 400. And then, as you said, the Black Beast making his return. That's not often you see this guy as a plus money, you know, underdog, and I love that. Now, the guy is fighting Sergey Pavlovich. This Russian is a bad dude. He's knocked out a lot of people. But he takes a lot of shots. And if you're going to take punches, that's going to give the Black Beast a chance to knock you out. I'm taking him plus 112. Another bet, plus 136 to go over the 1.5 I like as well.
Mafia is going to be hanging around. So when we come back, I do want to bring up the McGregor-Mayweather nonsense. And then we'll get back into the NFL and a few other things that we have to do. Pharrell Coast to Coast on a Friday. Carver High Mafia in for Scotty. We're back on the grid right after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we are back for El Coast to Coast on a pain-free Friday right here on Sports Grid and Sports Grid Radio. Good to have you on board with us. Carver High here along with Mafia. Scotty is back on Monday from vacation. Before we get to the nonsense, Mafia, with Mayweather and McGregor, because that's what it always is. It's nonsense. I do have to tell everybody, of course, get on BetMGM right now. You bet $10 on any Major League Baseball game, and you win 200 if either team hits a home run. That's right. Bet $10, any Major League Baseball game, win $200 if either team hits a homer. Use promo code MLBHR2022 to get yourself set up at BetMGM. All right, Moff. So Mayweather and McGregor, the talks got out there again earlier this week that they're going to have another fight in Vegas. Now, Dana White called it BS. Well, let's be fair here. I don't believe anything that he ever says. So Mayweather and McGregor, I do believe, Mafia, these guys are going to fight again. Because let's be honest here. What are either of them doing? Now, I think it's stupid for Floyd because eventually, Mafia, he's going to do one of these dopey exhibitions and somebody's going to get him. And that big shiny zero that he's got at the back end, even though it's not a professional fight or a fight that counts against his record, people will always say, oh, well, he did lose that fight. I think he's silly to fight these dumb exhibition fights. But Connor, he don't fight anymore either. So he might as well go make himself, you know, $15, $20 million with a fight like this.
I mean, if you're just looking for the money's sake, then maybe it does. But then again, we'll have to see, you know, what is the draw of that? What is, you know, when they were at the peak and they fought the first time, like everybody, Mayweather was undefeated, as he still is. You know, Conor McGregor was on the top of the world, you know, a two-belt champion. Then he came back and he's been getting his ass kicked since. You know, he lost, of course, to Khabib. You know, then he had the nice fight against Cerrone, who was washed, but then lost back-to-back to Poirier. Especially when you're looking at it, how do you even make this fight happen? Because, you know, we've always seen Floyd at, you know, smaller weight class. You see Conor these days, that the guy's, ever since he broke his leg, all he's been doing is eating in the gym. And he's just jacked up. He's just showing how, you know, he's act like he's some, like, little Irish Hulk. Well, how are you going to drop down 40, 50 pounds now to go fight Floyd Mayweather if that's the case? But I just think this is ridiculous. You know, maybe because of the names you might get a draw, but I'm not giving a single cent to this. I mean, it's you beat him so badly the first time, and he has not shown to be any better in his own sport, let alone in boxing. Why would I think that it's going to be anything different just because Mayweather's a couple years older and hasn't fought? He wasn't fighting anybody for a couple years really before he fought McGregor and still wiped the floor with him.
Because unfortunately, mafia people will watch. And that is the unfortunate thing with boxing right now. We've all had this discussion, me, you, Scotty, we've had this discussion too many times. Unfortunately for boxing, people care more about watching a fight like this or a fight with the Dopey Paul brothers or one of these things with names. Like, I think people would rather watch the Adrian Peterson, Le'Veon Bell fight than actual boxing, actual fighters right now, because it has no juice whatsoever. And that, unfortunately, that's what boxing has become. That's just the way that it is now. So, yeah, there's money to be made because people will be there. That's how it goes.
You're right. I mean, we see all these names, even the big names right now. You know, guys like, you know, when we had the Fury fight, how many people really tuned? There was, you know, obviously some around the world, but is it what it should have been? No. You know, when we've seen Canelo fight recently, the numbers are not nearly what they were, you know, earlier in his career. So you're right. The actual legit boxing is, you know, falling even further by the wayside. We talked about it, you know, probably a decade ago about, you know, is it a dying sport? And it seemed to get a little bit of life. But then again, once Floyd Mayweather went away, it started to die down again. You know, I mean, we have a guy like Danny Garcia fighting this weekend. Anybody even know what's happening? I didn't check the schedule.
No, I didn't either.
It happens all the time. But, you know, next week, the Paul fight in the Garden is probably going to be packed for no good reason.
I knew that fight was happening. I had no idea that Danny Garcia was fighting tomorrow night. I had zero, nothing. And he's a good fighter. It's a shame. Is McGregor ever going to fight in the UFC again? What happened? Is he still nursing that injury that he got? Hasn't that been like a year now? Is he ever going to fight? What's his problem?
It's been, almost a year. Yeah, over a year. July last year is when he broke the leg. So, yeah, it's been a long time. I mean, obviously, bringing him back for July in 2022 because, you know, that's the big international fight week. So they thought, you know, maybe that would be the return. It wasn't. You know, there's always been talk about who it's going to be. They're going to talk about Diaz, who's now going to get himself slaughtered in his fight. I don't know why they put that together. That's going to be a complete mess. But, you know, there has been talk about what's going to happen with this guy. We've seen him training for, what, 4 or 5 months now. We've seen him in the gym hitting the bag and jacking up on weights, but we haven't heard a fight. And I think that's partly like, you know, they're like, well, who do we put him against? Because they don't want to lose that name. You know, if they put him against someone who's legit again in that division and he loses for a third straight time, what do you do? Then all you have is a fight like, you know, McGregor and Mayweather, because those names are big enough to draw people in, but you're not going to be big enough to draw him in if he keeps losing in MMA, and that's what he's done so far in the UFC, 3 of his last 4.
Yeah, I mean, he's not really a fighter anymore. He's just a social media star. He's going the way of the Paul brothers
money.
And everybody else. That's kind of, he's got a lot of it. He got a lot of money for selling that whiskey. So I think he does have a lot of money. He is burning through money, but it's going to take him a while, I think, to burn through the whiskey money. He's probably burned through the Mayweather money, but it'll take him a while to burn through the whiskey money, I think. So there you go. Yeah. Big UFC.
Until he buys one of those Dan Snyder yachts.
Well, hey, anything's possible, that's for sure. UFC 277 tomorrow night. Where is that fight, Mafia? Is it in Vegas? Is that where they have that fight tomorrow
night? In Dallas, down in Texas.
Dallas! Jerry's World or where the Mavs play? Where are they doing that? They can't be
the American
Jerry's
Airlines.
World. No way. They'd film.
No,
there
not Jerry's
They're
World.
At the American Airlines. No, there's no way they got nothing against Nunez and Pena. That's not filling Jerry's World. They need to they got to go to the American Airlines for that. NFL, we've got more stuff to roll through here. The Giants, of course, have themselves the new brain trust with Brian Daboll and Joe Shane. They still have some of the pieces from the last regime. One of them is Saquon Barkley. A lot of bad things have happened to Saquon the last few years, injury-wise, touches, etc. He's feeling 100%, and he is ready to roll, Ma, for a new season. Here's Barkley.
Yeah, the last 2 years, not going how I want it. You know, I kind of have, you know, been reflecting on that. You know, everything happens for a reason. So the adversity, the injuries that were put in my way these last 2 years, you know, God got a bigger plan, and it's all going to work out. So coming up with this year, year five, for me, I just want to, like I said in my first interview when I talked to you guys this year, I just want to show the Giants that, you know, the guy that they drafted is still here. And I can still go out there and make the plays and help my team be successful. And that's the only thing I focus about, is take care of myself, take care of my body, take care of my mental, and try and be the best teammate I can be.
And I actually think, Mafia, that he is going to be able to do that, because even though I don't think this is the year the Giants will make some huge leap and get out of what has just been an awful, awful 10-year stretch for them, I do think Barkley's going to have a big year. I told Adam Kaplan yesterday, I love some of his props. Over 6.5 rushing touchdowns. His yardage is 900.5. It was 850 last week. I'm in on Barkley this year, even though I'm not in on the Giants.
Yeah, I agree with you, too. I mean, this guy, when he's healthy, has been incredible. Look at that first, you know, rookie year where he's putting up, you know, almost 2,000 yards combined. He was catching the ball all over the place, rushing it. Even on a bad team, he was having great stats, and then the injuries just kept piling up, and then, you know, his team just kept getting worse and worse around him. That's the thing. You know, what I worry about, though, with that stats, you know, I think he's going to be incredible. But what I worry about, Mike, is not necessarily even the health, but our team's going to load up the box just to stop him. Are they going to dare Daniel Jones to just throw the ball? Because when you look at what else they have, everyone talks about the weapons, but Galladay is always hurt. Tony was a disappointment. Sterling Shepard's never in there. Like, their wide receiver core, you know, is held together by scotch tape and Band-Aids. So people don't believe in Daniel Jones. Are they just going to say, all right, we're going to put 8 guys, 9 guys in there and stop Barkley, and then the rest of you, we don't care.
7.5, the win total for the Giants. Jeez, I mean, Moff, I don't like paying -165. Maybe I'll go look for a little alt line at 6.5, because I don't think they're going to get the 7 either. I love that under. I'm not in on the Giants this year. In on Barkley.
As long as Jones is under center, I'm going under that.
7.5, jeez. That's very strange, that number, that's for sure. All right, Pharrell Coast to Coast on a Friday. We'll come back, some more NFL to do. Go for the 2 later this hour as well. We're back on the grid right after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We're back, Pharrell Coast to Coast on a Friday. Carver High and Mafia here for Scotty. He will be back on Monday, Sports Grid and Sports Grid Radio. We got Aaron O taking us home here today on a Friday on the grid as well. I will let you know quickly, Mafia, that our boy Taylor Pendriff, still in the lead at the Rocket Mortgage up in Detroit. 14 under now, 6 under for the day, as Tony Finau is now 1 back, looking to chase him down. Lee, don't call me Gil Hodges, still in the mix for me as well. Patrick Reed and Henrik the Dentist Stenson currently lead the Live Tour event over at Bedminster in Central Jersey right now, as that is the first of 3 rounds this weekend. I guess, Moff, you're not going to be heading over to Bedminster this weekend for the Live Tour on Saturday or Sunday. We can't get you out there to see DJ and Patrick Reed and the boys. No?
Come on, Mike. You know what weekends are like. It's dad duty for us. You know, it'd be one thing if it was a tournament right near me. I went to the one, you know, a couple of years ago when they had the FedEx playoffs for, like, in the, you know,
Northern
Jersey, right by me. And I went there. I bought a Michelob lights in that tent all day. But, you know, I got to drive 30-40 minutes to go watch golf all day. No, if I'm driving 34 minutes for golf, it's to play it, not to watch it.
I love that tournament that they had, the FedEx Cup at Liberty National, the Northern Trust. They took it away. Now they play the FedEx Cup in St. Jude down in Nashville. And last year I was supposed to go to that, Moff. Remember, it rained on me on Sunday, and they canceled the thing and moved it to Monday. That was the worst during the FedEx Cup playoffs last year. More NFL. Let's hear from Tua now, Mafia, who, of course, has gotten a lot of public support from his new wide receiver, Tyreek Hill, talking up Tua big time about how accurate he is and what a great season they're going to have. Tua appreciates all of the support that he's been getting from the Cheetah. Here he is.
I would say that's just Tyreek's personality. You know, Tyreek's going to speak how he feels at that very moment. And he just believes what he says every time. If he feels he's the best at this, he's going to let you know. Out there on the field, if he feels, you know, someone's talking too much and he wants to go against him, he's going to let him know what he's going to do to him. You know, that's just his personality. And I think it's fun to have that kind of personality on the team. But, I mean, for me, again, like I said, it's awesome to have that kind of support from somebody like that.
I want to hear, Mafia, the support that he gets around week, I don't know, let's say 7 or 8, when maybe Tua is underthrown him a couple times on some big bombs, or maybe things just aren't going well. I want to see the same public support from Tyreek Hill during those trying times, Mafia.
Yeah, I agree with you, Mike. I mean, obviously this guy, well, Tyreek Hill is one of the best wide receivers in the NFL, so now he has that as a weapon. It's not like this guy was devoid of weapons his whole career. I mean, when they're putting in, you know, your boy Harvard in there, instead of you pulling you in late games, put him in there. How accurate are you really? I mean, he showed great things at Alabama and then wasn't as good. Now with the Dolphins, like you said, it's put up or shut up time for him, you know, as it is for Daniel Jones, who we talked about before. The big thing for me is, you know, I get it, Tyreek. He's your guy now. He's your quarterback. You want to support him. You're on the old, you know, it's my quarterback. But he got too far with it. You know, it's one thing to say, hey, you guys give this guy a bad rap. He's a lot better than you think. You know, he's really accurate. But say, act like, oh, he's the, you know, most accurate in the NFL. Well, first of all, because he throws 5-yard passes. You and I can be pretty accurate in the NFL throwing 5-yard passes, especially when it's 7-on-7 so far in the beginning of minicamp and training camp. He hasn't even had this guy really, you know, ones versus ones to see how accurate he really is. But besides that, you know, let's see game time when guys are rushing at him, how accurate he is. You know, go a little bit and say, okay, I support this guy. He's great. We're going to be awesome. Don't act like this guy is going to be Hall of Fame, though. Don't pull, you know, the Devontae Adams, like going from one Hall of Famer to another, because you ain't.
Dolphin number is 8.5 as of right now. Juice to the over, -135, plus money to the under, $1.15. I am not going near any of the Dolphin preseason futures, Mafia, simply because I have no idea how to cap the nerd as the head coach. I have no idea. He's a brand new head coach, which is, it's tough with all these new head coaches, and there's a lot of them this year, but especially this guy, who I've been so, he seems so zany. He's a charts and graphs guy. I am staying away from anything involving the Dolphins. I am going to play against them in week one, though, when they play the Patriots, because I don't see Belichick losing to that kid the first week of the season. That's the one thing that I have on my sights set on for the Dolphins right now.
Yeah, I mean, Mike, he wasn't even calling plays out there under Shanahan, right? So Shanahan was still controlling all the plays. So while he might have talked a nice game and have all these numbers that he threw around, we don't know what he's going to be like even working that side of the ball fully. So we have to see how that goes. We have to see how two of them, you know, congeal. If the number was a little higher, if it was 9.5 or 10 or something like that, I probably would go the under, because you look at their schedule, it's pretty tough. I mean, obviously within division, you Pats twice, Bills twice, maybe, you know, at least one or two against the Jets that they're probably going to win. But I mean, they have a lot of playoff teams on this schedule. You have the Bengals. You have the Vikings that people think are going to be, you know, good this year. You talked about the Lions being an improved team this year. They got to play them in Detroit. They got to play, you know, teams like the 49ers and the Chargers and the Packers. So it's a very tough schedule. That 8 is right about the tipping point, like, oh, man, one way or the other. So I'm not going to play it. If it was juiced a little bit more to the under, I might have taken a chance. But only getting that +115, I'll sit back and watch the fish fry later on instead of trying to throw my money on it.
I think it's right on the number. I think you're going to be sitting there in the final game of the season. They're probably going to be sitting right on 8 wins, and you're going to be sweating out either the over or the under with them going for 9 or for 8. I think that that's kind of the season that it's going to be for them. You mentioned the Niners. Trey Lance, of course, is now settled in as the starting quarterback. They have said it. We are going with Trey. Trey apparently has known this for a long time. He is already playing the game with the media. You guys are the only ones that care about this. I knew I was going to be the starter. Here's Trey Lance.
Man, you know, honestly, the only difference is I was hoping you guys would stop asking about it all the time. For me, it wasn't really like a moment or anything like that. I mean, I've been excited. I've been prepared. I thought, you know, preparing to play since the day I got here, the day I got drafted. So I'm obviously excited for this year. But like you said, nothing's really changed this whole offseason.
there is Trey Lance, the starting quarterback for the Niners. I have been very vocal about my position on this this week and before that, Mafia. I'm down on the Niners. I'm going after them this year. I'm fading them, taking the under, taking them to miss the playoffs. I don't believe in the kid until I see it happen. He might throw it in my face, but I'll take the chance that he doesn't.
I'm with you, Mike, because everyone's just thinking they kind of pick up where they were because you still have the coach, you still have a lot of the same pieces. You're getting back the running backs that were hurt all last year, but again, we don't know what that's going to be with them. And most importantly, we don't know what Trey Lance is going to be like. Well, everybody knew for a long time, okay? Ever since they drafted you, we knew this year you were going to be the starting quarterback. You know, Jimmy G was, you know, saying goodbye before the playoff games last year. So I don't think anybody really thought that as bad as you looked last year at times, they were really not going to give you the ball and make you the starting quarterback in San Francisco. There wasn't a surprise to anybody. So I'm acting like the rest of us weren't sure of it either. It's silly. But, you know, we saw some game action with him. It wasn't like he played a ton of games, wasn't starting every, you know, game of the season or the second half or anything like that, because Jimmy G played so well and they were a playoff team, so they weren't going to hand the reins to this kid. But we did see some action, and, you know, against the better teams, against Seattle, against Arizona, barely over 50% completion. You know, it was more about him running the ball, which is great. He has athleticism. That's why they brought him in there. That's why Shanahan, you know, wanted him. But you can only do so much of that. We've seen, even though he's a bigger guy, even your guy Josh Allen, how much he ran the first couple of years. And now they said, you know what? We got to protect him a little bit. Michael Vick, you know, how great he was running the ball. Eventually they said, listen, Mike, throw it sometimes. You got the arm. That's why you're back there as quarterback. We can't take these hits and have you injured. So while they ran him a bunch and they ran the gimmick plays with him, you can't do that over and over and over again. You need your starting quarterback instead of your backup. So we'll have to see how Shanahan adjusts that. We'll have to see if he can get more accurate. We have to see what they are like, you know, the running backs that are coming back. How healthy can they be? How would they fit into that? Deebo Samuel, is he going to be happy now that he doesn't have to run it so much if they do that? You know, is he going to be sour because they still haven't gotten this deal really locked in and considered and said, listen, this is where you are. You're on the outside. We're going to keep you safe. There's a lot of unknowns with this team despite it being so good last year.
Certainly is. I will be going straight for them. Shanahan is a genius. We will see if he can pull it off. That's for sure. Other NFL stuff, Mafia, before we get Go for the Two going. Unfortunately, I might save Kittle for Monday for Scotty because it is funny and it's not time sensitive. Man. Him asking the media about several other things. Julio Jones is now a member of the Tampa Bay Bucks. Of course, he is excited to be a Tampa Bay Buck. And why wouldn't you be, Mafia? You're catching passes from Tom Brady now. Here's Julio.
The Buccaneer organization just giving me the opportunity to come here and showcase my skills and just to be a part of something new, be a part of this team. Like I said, I mean, they have everything that they need already, right? So it's just like, but you got to put the work in each and every day. Nothing is given to you. You got to come to work every day. And that's what I bring. I'm going to work every day. And that's just who I am.
If, and it is a big if he stays healthy, he'll make big plays. I don't think, Mafia, it's going to be the huge numbers. Like, I already seen people, like, they're betting him, like, to win comeback player of the year. They're betting him to win all this stuff. They're going to take him five rounds earlier in fantasy than you probably should. I'm not going that far with him. But if he stays healthy, he'll make an impact for Brady because Brady makes everybody better and gets everybody the rock, and he'll probably have a real good year for Tampa.
Yeah, if he can stay healthy, that's been the big thing. That's what he hasn't done in forever. As good as he even was in Atlanta, he was never healthy. You know, when he came in there, it was like, hey, great, throw a lot of money on his props because he's going to get great catches, jump in the air, 50-50 balls are his, you know, no doubt. But he can never stay healthy. That's why I kind of laugh when he says, I'm going to come in here and work every day. Like, you haven't worked every day in 4 or 5 years. Your every day is Friday, Saturday, Sunday, because Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, you're not practicing. You're sitting out because you're nursing something. So, you know, without the attention of being the number one guy, we'll see. Maybe he could step up as, you know, the third or fourth receiver there. But people to jump on the props like that is a little too much because as good as he is, you know, how great a relationship did Brady have with Gronk? And it took, what, like 16 weeks to make it happen? When it gets down to the end of the season and he needs a couple catches to make, you know, that extra bonus, then look for him. In the beginning of the season, Evans, Godwin, those guys, they're going to be the focal point because Brady knows them better.
And let me tell you, that Jensen injury is going to be big for them. He's a big part of their offensive line. Him not playing there, that's going to hurt their running game. Very interesting. Go for the Two, Joe Lisi next, here on Coast to Coast on The Grid. We're back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
back. Pharrell Coast to Coast on a Friday here on Sports Grid and Sports Grid Radio. Carver High in for Scotty. He'll be back on Monday from vacation, right back here on the grid. All right, and we finish things off today with, of course, you see him all over Sports Grid. You hear him on Football Full Circle. And Carver and Lisi, every night, 10 p.m. Eastern, Sports Grid Radio. He is, of course, go for the over. No, I mean, go for the two. Joe Lisi, the encyclopedia of college football. Hi, Joe. How you doing?
I'm on the over, six of them prior to our show. So hopefully we'll be playing with some house money going into the late night action. Look, what is it, Seattle and L.A. tonight?
So, look, this is how it goes on. For anybody, this is why you should probably, just to have a laugh, listen every night at the start of Carver and Lisi. We will come on the air, and Joe will tell me, I'm on the over in every single Major League Baseball game that is playing that night. Joe is on the over. So when it is not football season, which technically it still isn't, especially to some people like Dave Sharapan, we have changed Lisi's handle on social media to go for the over, not go for the two, Joe, because you have played every single over in baseball for games that start after 9 o'clock Eastern for the last 2 months.
We have, and the two unders I did take on the show, they won, right? So keep an eye out for that.
Not we have.
On an under, baby.
Not we through. Have. You have. Not we have. You have. Not we. Remember that, Joe. Well, that is not a we.
We can always put it with
that
the golf,
you.
Carver. You've been hot as pistol in the golf. Hot as a pistol with the golf.
Finau tied for the lead up there in Detroit now. 14 under with Pendrith. Joe bet Finau 2 months straight. Got off him 3 weeks ago before the Open Championship. He won last week in Minnesota, and now he's tied for the lead again up in Detroit. So Finau's going to owe Lisi a fruit basket. After he gets done, send him a little thank you for to stop betting on him. Joe, a couple of things we need to discuss here today besides the fact that you bet every Major League Baseball over. Let's start with something that you said to me as we were coming in here. DK Metcalf gets the big contract extension from the Seahawks yesterday. You actually said to me that you're all in on the prop overs for DK Metcalf this year. What is it, like 950? Is his yardage 925, 950?
Yeah.
You're all in with those two guys throwing him the football. Lock and Geno Smith. Lock it in for Joe Lisi.
Yeah, 925 and a half on FanDuel, minus 112 either way. I think he's a 1,200-yard receiver this year. And I said it last year about Russell Wilson. He was checked out. I made a couple of references to two games in particular at the end of the year against Washington, 17-15. He didn't target DK Metcalf until late in the third quarter. He targeted David Moore more times than his best wide receiver in the road game against L.A., where they were 7-point dogs against Matt Stafford and the crew. That was the DJ Dallas game. I mean, DK Metcalf was non-existent in that ballgame. So at the end of the day, you look at the skill talent with Seattle, DK, Tyler Lockett, Noah Fant, the tight end, is not a bad trio, coupled with the two running backs of Kenneth Walker and Rashad Penny. I think Rashad Penny's like 2,750 in terms of a rushing total. That was his total output, Carver, in the last six games of the regular season last year. Yes, that was with Wilson, but I didn't think the offensive line played all that bad in terms of run blocking. They're going to have a run game, and I buy into Pete Carroll. I'm all over for DK, Rashad Penny, and believe it or not, over the 5.5 win total for the Seattle Seahawks this year.
I don't like it, but I'm not going to go against you with the under. I won't do that. I'll root it in for you, Joe.
Okay.
I'll root in the DK
right.
Metcalf over. I will not go against you, but I will root it in. College football. Me and you all week on our show have been doing over-unders for the Big Ten as we get ourselves ready for the start of the college football season. Aside from Penn State, who is your favorite win total in the Big Ten? I'm not going to let you say Penn State because I know how much you love Penn State. Aside from Penn State, what's your favorite total in the Big Ten this year?
It's P.J. Fleck. We're rowing the boat. You know where I'm sitting on a 6-1 ticket in the West for P.J. Fleck in Minnesota. I mean, love the defense, 17.5 points per game. Statistically top 10, not only in the Big Ten, I mean at the top of the Big Ten, but in all of college football. Rush defense, 95 yards per game, only gave up around 150 to opposing quarterbacks in terms of pass defense. Opportunistic, solid third down defense. Tanner Morgan's experience, love him or hate him, he's the senior quarterback. And you get Mo Ibrahim that comes back, that's going to pound the rock between the tackles. I know they had those mental lapses last year against Bowling Green and against some other opponents, Iowa, at the end of the year. But at the end of the day, I'm buying into this team. They're very physical, and teams that can run the football and shut down the run get my money. Love the over 7.5 and love them at 6-1 to win the West.
6-1 to win the West for the Gophers. You know that I always like to get the paddle out for PJ Fleck and row the boat for him, Heather, and the family up there in Minnesota. Love the Gophers coming in to this year. Now you can tell us why you like the Penn State over so much. Go ahead, 8.5.
I'm just buying into James Franklin. We talked about it last night on the show. We talked about it with a Penn State alum and Sharapan as well. Who do you want coaching Penn State? I mean, at the end of the day, I understand they haven't been able to get over the hump, but James Franklin, I'm going to say it, a great recruiter, Carver. We have Sean Clifford in his 14th year in Happy Valley. Parker Washington, they have two dynamic running backs that they come in as freshmen in terms of the run game. And that front seven did not play bad. You have a veteran secondary led by Joey Porter Jr. I have to be honest. I am a buyer of James Franklin. And in a big spot, I like them against Auburn laying 1 point. I love them on the road in West Lafayette against Aiden O'Connell week one in Purdue. I love that. I'm laying the 3.5 with the Nittany Lions in that ballgame. Think they're a 10-win football team.
I'm on Auburn that day. I'll take Auburn at home.
I love it. Let's go,
Penn
baby.
State. I'm on Auburn. I think that they'll get Penn State back after losing at Happy Valley last year. That'll be the first big win for Brian Harrison. He needs a big win. In the worst way. Hopefully he gets one against Penn State that Saturday in September. All right, conference realignment, Joe. We talk about this all the time. The pieces continue to move on the chessboard. Last week, the Big 12 had their media day. The new commissioner incoming, Brett Yormark, made some kind of comment about how they might try to take some teams from the Pac-12, that they were not going to merge with the Pac-12. Clearly, some feathers were ruffled on both sides. So today the Pac-12 had their day. George Klivikov, who is the commissioner of that conference, he did not pull any punches either, Joe. Quote, with respect to the Big 12 being open for business, we appreciate that. We have not decided whether we're going shopping there or not, as in he's going to go take teams from the Big 12. He said that remark, the one I just mentioned, was a reflection of me spending 4 weeks trying to defend grenades being lobbed from every corner of the Big 12, trying to destabilize the Pac-12. I got tired of it. Probably not the most collegial thing I've ever said. Your boy Klivikov out there on the West Coast. Look at this, Joe. We got a little heat between the Big 12 and the Pac-12 now.
Oh, I love it. And you know where I stand with the Big 12. You said I'm on payroll for Yormark and the crew, right? But let's be honest, Carver. They are solidified for the next 2 to 3 seasons. You add BYU. You add Cincinnati and Houston that squared off in the AAC championship game. You bring Gus Malzahn on to the conference with Mikey Keene and John Rhys Plumlee. What's worse than that? They are solidified. Add and sprinkle in a little Oklahoma State. I mean, come on, TCU, West Virginia, Neil Brown, Matt Campbell, Dave Aranda, and Baylor. They're good. The problem with Klivikov is, remember when the Corvette was the hottest car around town until you cracked it up on the side of the road and it just broke like a piece of glass and you're sitting there with a body in a frame? That's what the Pac-12 is right now. I mean, come on, what team do they have? They have Oregon and Washington. Once those two teams leave the Pac-12, they're not going to have a conference. You think teams are going to want Washington State, Stanford, Cal? No way. Arizona? I mean, they're great in terms of late-night Pac-12 action, but in terms of taking another conference over the top, I mean, let's get real, Klivikov.
We need him for the bailout blowout at 10:30 Eastern on a Saturday night. We need those Arizona-Washington State games, Joe,
yes,
to get us through the end of the weekend. That's for sure. Look, for me, they're finished. I'm with you. When you lose UCLA and USC, I have to believe that they're going to lose other teams because it seems like the Big 12 is pretty strong with just adding the other four teams. It seems like if there is a conference that's left that could be poached and picked at, it's the Pac-12. Because, like, honestly, Joe, who's there for them to add? Like, does it really move the needle to add San Diego State or even Boise at this point or Fresno State? Does that really change the landscape of the Pac-12 right now? They're in serious trouble, and he knows it. That's why he's dodging grenades, like he said today. They're in trouble.
He's dodging grenades. He might not have a paycheck in about 6 months. What conference is going to be there? I mean, if you only have six teams in a Pac-12 conference, how could that guy collect a million-dollar check every year, coupled with the fact that he blew the TV rights deal with the Pac-12 network? Part of that was with Smith, but at the end of the day, it's still on his shoulders.
It is, and he even tried rocking the boat at UCLA today, too, saying most people at that university are upset at the move. It's just a couple of people at the top who made it, and there's a lot of people. I've heard there's a lot of people upset. I've talked to people. They're upset at UCLA with the meal. They ain't going to be upset at the check, Joe. I'll tell you that. The check they're not going to be upset at when that starts rolling around. Fully vested member the year that they walk in the door. At the Big Ten. They're going to get their full share right out of the gate. Last couple of minutes. All right, go ahead. Tell everybody why the LSU over is going to be so good this year. Go ahead, Joe.
Oh, come on. 6.5 is light. Now, I will say this. Tread lightly, in my opinion, week number one, because I think that Florida State game can be tricky just because of Florida State and how they stepped up last year against Clemson and some of the better teams in the ACC. They began to run the football, 177 rushing yards per game, but LSU is loaded. You got Miles Brennan, Jaden Daniels, Nussmeier at the quarterback position, John Emery, and you have Noah Kane at the running backs and two potentially big play wide receivers in terms of Maxwell Award, you know, watch list in terms of Kayshon Booty and Jeray Jenkins. I mean, come on. In terms of the skill talent, LSU has the pieces to challenge any team in the West, including Alabama. It comes down to the game plan, which I think is an upgrade with Brian Kelly over Eddie O. And you know what? They recruit eerily similar to Alabama in the interior. So keep an eye out for LSU. I'm not saying they go 11-1 this year, but don't count out a 9-3 year for Brian Kelly and the crew. And I took a shot at them 40-1 to win the West.
I was going to say, you've got a couple tickets that say otherwise with 11-1, 11-1 for LSU. You've got some tickets that say otherwise. Look, they have been awful the last 2 years. Awful. And they're not jumping up to the 10-11 win range. I don't see it. I admit, 6.5, it's doable. But I think at best, Joe, they're a 7-5 football team. Maybe 8-4. Maybe 8-4 if some things went right for them. In fact, I think Auburn will finish ahead of them in the SEC West. I know you don't like hearing that. I know you don't like hearing it. But no. Auburn's going to finish ahead of LSU this year in the conference. Joe, I will see you tonight, 10 p.m. Eastern, Sports Grid Radio, Carver and Lisi. And I know that you will be on, of course, college football tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. here on Sports Grid 2, right?
Yeah, right around the corner, week zero, baby.
Oh, week zero, it does exist. Pharrell Coast to Coast, we're back after this on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we are back, Pharrell Coast to Coast, on a pain-free Friday. Carver High here for Scotty on Sports Grid and Sports Grid Radio. Let's finish it out with the leftovers. Ron Rivera expects Chase Young to miss some regular season time. Of course, he's coming back from last year's torn ACL. Reports say a Watson suspension announcement aren't going to come today. Well, gee, you think so? I mean, when is this happening already? This would have been perfect, too. A little Friday at 4:30, 5 o'clock to announce it. I guess, you know, why not just wait another 2 or 3 weeks? Let him play a couple preseason games first, and then you can announce that he's suspended for the year. Sammy Watkins, always hurt, back at practice for the Packers. Ryan Kerrigan, of course, spent his entire career with Washington, and there's several nicknames. He retires. I just talked to Joe about the Pac-12. They're exploring expansion options. They are going after teams. John Klingberg, great defenseman for the Dallas Stars, signing a one-year, $7 million deal with the Ducks. Quack, quack, quack. Out in Anaheim. Kevin Love went on a safari in Africa to watch lions maul each other. No, not a misprint. That is what Kevin Love is doing in the offseason. Charles Barkley will not be joining the Live broadcast. He says he is staying with the NBA on TNT. They have been too good for him. They don't want, does not want to leave them. Speaking of the Live Tour, Patrick Reed, 7-under at Bedminster in Jersey right now, has the lead in the opening round there at the Rocket Mortgage in Detroit. Taylor Pendriff now one shot better than Tony Finau, four shots better than Lee. Do not call me Gil Hodges. Should be a fun weekend. Even Stewie Sink in the mix as well up there in Detroit. Golf should be fun. All right, great job this week by everybody involved. Scotty will be back on Monday. My thanks to Cam Stewart. Thanks to Mafia, Aaron O, Hayden at LTN. Everybody, tremendous stuff today. Joe Lisi, Dr. Chow, and Dave Sharapan as well. Pharrell, coast to coast. Carver High here. We will see you again Monday on Sports Grid. Game Time Decisions is next, right here on the grid. Have a great weekend, everybody. Cash a lot of tickets. We'll see you on Monday.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Your kids could get free or low-cost health coverage from Medicaid or CHIP. Even if you've applied before, they may be eligible now. Kids up to age 19 are covered for checkups, vaccines, dentist visits, hospital care, and more. And if they already have Medicaid or CHIP, remember to renew every year. Visit insurekidsnow.gov or call 877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.